Hello everyone, my name is Dr. Sandra Cabot. I'm a medical doctor, been practicing medicine for over 40 years. I'm joined here today by David Nomchong, who is the founder of Inner Origin. And David is an incredibly interesting man, as well as a patient, because statistically, David should not be alive. It is a miracle that he is alive and with us today. And he looks very healthy. His energy is amazing. And it's a pleasure to talk to him. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Sandra. And thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. David, you are going on 70.
Yes.
You don't look anywhere near it.
Thank you.
And you have had a difficult medical history. You've had a lot of challenges, and according to your many specialists over many years, you should not be alive.
It is pretty true. In 1989, I was diagnosed with chronic lymphatic leukemia. I was told that at the stage of the disease I was at that time, that probably at best I had about 5 years, at a squeeze maybe seven, but I was definitely going to die of the disease. That was the bottom line. So in that time, I started traditional treatments, which were really palliative treatments. Hormone treatment, carambacil, and in fact, over the next 10 years, I had 8 different types of chemotherapy. I had 4 types of radiation therapy, and then I had 42 blood transfusions, 15 platelet transfusions, and a few stints in the ICU with septic infections, and 4 bone marrow transplants.
So David had a disease called chronic lymphatic leukemia, and indeed his white blood cells became very aggressive and became cancerous and started invading his body, and he was given very strong chemotherapy. And as he said, he had to have 4 bone marrow transplants. And by the time they did the 4th one, they'd almost given up and said, well, this is a last ditch effort and we don't expect you to live. And David had been told this many times by different specialists that you can expect to die within a certain time. People don't survive this disease. And indeed, back when David first was afflicted with leukemia, his chances of survival were around 1/3, so around 30%. And he's really defied the odds. And it's such a fascinating story because it teaches us really that you never give up. If you love life and you have the desire to survive, you can be your own healer, and you never give up the struggle. You never kind of say to someone else, I want you to take over completely. You always want to put your own energy into that survival process. So that's what David did. And I want him to describe the amazing experience he had, which really turned his immune system around and the energy that he needed to survive.
Well, it's pretty famous. It's a pretty interesting story because I think the first bone marrow, I'd like to start about talking about the bone marrow transplants because, they were a pivotal point. I'd got to pretty close to end-stage disease in 2000. I was quite unwell. My weight, I dropped down to about 48 kilos, so less than just skin and bone.
You were basically wasting away.
I was absolutely
cachexia, which people get from chemotherapy.
I was wasting away. I was I was unwell. I discovered a stage 3 trial treatment on the internet. I took it to my hematologist. I asked him whether I could go on the trial. He said, we can get you compassionate use for that.
Yes.
Which meant you're probably going to die anyhow, so if you die in that, there's no foul on our part.
Yes.
And I went on that trial, and it was for a monoclonal antibody which was being developed by Cambridge University. And it was pretty interesting because there were three other patients in Australia on that trial, and the other two patients didn't survive the trial. When I came out of that trial, instead of being too sick to have a bone marrow transplant, my bloods were now good enough that they thought I could be a candidate for a bone marrow transplant.
Good.
Now, I was 50 years of age, and at that point in time, they didn't give full bone marrow transplants to 50-year-olds or over because it was too toxic.
Yes.
They didn't survive. So they... but they were experimenting with something called a mixed chimerism or mini bone marrow transplant at the time, and they offered me the opportunity to go on that, and that was... I think I was the fourth or fifth patient in Australia to do that particular transplant.
Yes.
After the first transplant, I got about 30% engraftment, and it was effectively a fail. So they gave me a second transplant.
Yes.
I got to 60% engraftment, but that was effectively a fail as well. So they gave me a third transplant. I got to 60% engraftment again, and that one failed.
Yes.
Now, by this time, they're saying, this is not going to work. But they said, look, we're going to try one final transplant on you, because even if it doesn't work, although you've been refractory to all chemotherapy to date, with these transplants, we might make you sensitive to chemotherapy again, so we might be able to squeeze you another 18 months.
Yes.
And I thought, oh boy, more chemotherapy, just what I was looking forward to. So I had the fourth bone marrow transplant, but they really didn't think it was going to work.
Yes.
And I had the infusion of stem cells as an outpatient at St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. And after the six-hour infusion, I went home. I drove home, actually. And as I was driving home, I got to down Macleay Street, Potts Point.
In the famous King's Cross of Sydney.
The famous King's Cross of Sydney.
Full of people.
Full of people. I pulled my car to the side of the road, and I was just really angry. I was angry that I'd gone through all of this pain and this agony and this trauma, and they didn't believe I was going to make it.
Right.
And, you know, I stopped there, and without being too rude, I said, I'm sick and tired of this. These words were much milder than what I actually said, but I said, look, I can't do this anymore. I refuse to accept that this is not going to work. I want to be cured. I want to be cured right now. I'm calling back all my energy, all my life force into my being right now.
Yes.
And I screamed this out. I'm sitting in my car parked on the side of the road in the middle of King's Cross. Okay, and I'm saying, I'm yelling, I'm screaming and yelling, I'm calling back all my energy, I'm calling back my life force, I'm not putting up with this rubbish any longer. And right at that moment in time, my body started to vibrate all over. I got really hot. And in my mind, I thought, what's going on? And then all of these guttural noises sort of poured out of my mouth. It was like I was releasing all of the pent-up emotions inside me.
Yes.
Then I felt like somebody got a hose of light, stuck it in the top of my head, and switched on the current. And I had this energy running down my spine and vibrating my body all over. And while that was happening, in my mind, what's going on is, you're crazy. People are going to think you're nuts here, because I'm sitting in King's Cross, sitting in my car, screaming at the hell of all these noises coming out of, and this is going on in my mind. And in my mind, I'm saying, people will think you're on drugs. Yeah. And then I suddenly realised I was. I was on actually a lot of very dangerous drugs at the time, because I just
chemotherapy
drugs.
Yeah.
The long and the short of that story is, I don't know how long it took. I was in a timeless state, but I felt like something had changed in my body. And 54 days later, I had a bone marrow biopsy, and the pathologist could find no leukemia after, you know, 11, 12 years of having leukemia and having end-stage disease and being very unwell. Suddenly, they can't find leukemia.
And David had five cancer specialists, ranging from oncologists to hematologists, and none of them thought he would survive. And they were all astounded to see your cure.
Yes, indeed. Statistically, I was the chairman of the Arrow Bone Marrow Transplant Foundation for 12 years.
Poster boy for them. Yeah.
And we kept the statistics for all of the transplants in Australia and New Zealand for the last 25-odd years. And for my disease, CLL, I'm an absolute blip on that statistic. Mm. You know, I really shouldn't be here. When I got diagnosed, Sandra, the survival rate for leukemia patients was about 30-35%.
Yes. I mean, and how long ago is that now, David?
That was 1989.
Yes. And here we are in 2017, and David looks fantastic. He has sustained some organ damage from the chemotherapy. He had multiple combinations of different chemotherapy drugs, and, you know, that has caused a bit of damage to his kidneys. But recently we found that, notwithstanding a very good diet, he was very deficient in iodine and selenium, and also his liver needed help, and also his testosterone levels were very low. So he's been supplemented with selenium, iodine, and a liver formula, and also testosterone. And he told me today that he has a 40% increase in energy.
Absolutely. I mean, firstly, I did your detox, your 21-day detox program.
Yeah.
That really cleaned out all of the bad bacteria in my gut and repopulated it in a very healthy way. So that then my healthy diet that I'd always been eating became effective. And what I discovered is it wasn't effective before I'd had the detox. So the detox made a huge difference.
Yes.
And through that detox, over a period of maybe 3 to 4 months, I lost about 20 kilograms.
Yes, so, you look perfectly slim now.
And in fact, I'm
svelte.
I'm 82, 83 kilograms, and I haven't been that since 1982. So,
yes. Very good.
And I feel energized, and certainly since you've added the DHEA and the testosterone and the minerals, absolutely, my energy has improved. And I've been on the road constantly now for about 3 months, launching and driving the Inner Origin business.
Yes.
And I think without that help, I probably couldn't have sustained the energy.
That's good. Well, we're going to continue to boost David's energy, because he's on a mission to help people feel well and survive longer so that they can enjoy this amazing life. And he really is a poster boy for the power of nutritional medicine. And it's just incredible that your oncologist didn't think you'd survive, but you really became your own healer. And one thing that was very interesting that you said to me was your oncologist said he had never seen a patient with leukemia or a cancer of the white blood cells unless the patient showed signs of previous infection with the Epstein-Barr virus.
Correct.
Which is glandular fever, right?
That's correct,
yeah.
Yes.
So he saw a link between chronic infection with the Epstein-Barr virus, in other words, glandular fever, and cancer of the white blood cells.
Correct.
And that's becoming increasingly recognised, that viruses can lead to cancer. And it's very important for people to realise that a virus will become far more dangerous in your body if you are deficient in the mineral selenium. And worldwide, there is an increasing deficiency of selenium because of overpopulation of the planet, and our soils are increasingly depleted and pollution, etc. So a deficiency of selenium will enable viruses such as the Epstein-Barr virus or even the AIDS virus or the Ebola virus to become virulent and far more likely to kill you. So since you've been on selenium, I think that's really helped your immune system by putting these viruses in a dormant state where they can't harm you. And a lot of research has been done on selenium by people like Margaret Raymond, who's an epidemiologist in England, and also by Professor Gerhard Schrauser, who was a pioneer in minerals. And I think your oncologist and I would have a very interesting discussion about the fact that if people were not division in selenium and kept these viruses under control, there would be less cancer.
I don't think our diet helps yes. the cancer statistics in the country at the moment at all.
Yes, but it's a fascinating story. You know, David Nam Chong should not be alive. Statistically, he is a blip on the graph. He's a freak. And he is here today looking great and heading the wonderful business of Inner Origin, which is a platform that enables people to find very good natural products that can enhance their health. And, you know, really, you epitomise the fact that when it comes to your health, you should never give up and you should always be your own advocate.
That's the bottom line. You know, my haematologist said to me when he said, we can't find leukemia, he said, I have to admit to you, David, we didn't think you were going to make it. And I said, I'm glad one of us thought I was going to make it. And I think that epitomises what you're saying, that you've got to believe that you're going to make it and yes. that you're going to be healthy, and you then do. You take charge
yes.
personally.
Yes, it's a journey.
It's a journey.
But you have to be your own advocate and you have to be positive all the way. And, you know, over more than 40 years of practising medicine, I've seen nutritional medicine, in other words, using various foods, juicing, bone broth, vitamins, minerals, bioidentical hormones, being able to turn around many diseases that otherwise would have ravaged patients and necessitated the use of very toxic drugs. So thanks very much for your wonderful story, David.
My pleasure, and thank you for your wonderful products and your detox program, which I'm absolutely in love with.
Yes, the Trio Detox. Okay, great. So we hope you have been inspired today, a fascinating story that probably you will share with your friends. So I'm Dr. Sandra Cabot, and this has been David Nam Chong telling his story about his survival from cancer.